Welcome to Stewart & Kissel Market Moments, where we interview various personnel in the investment management industry. I'm Paul Miller, a partner in the investment management group at Stewart & Kissel, and today we have the distinct pleasure of speaking to Bob Dorsey, retired vice chairman and co-founder of Ultimus Fund Solutions and a fund service provider located in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome, Bob. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul. Glad to be with you.
First of all, congratulations on your recent retirement. But before we dive in, it would be helpful if you could provide a little background on Ultimus, its beginnings, and the current service offerings.
Sure. My partners and I started Ultimus in 1999. And prior to that, the three of us worked at a mutual fund company that also did mutual fund servicing. We got bought by a Fortune 500 company, didn't like the direction it was going. And so my partners and I left to set up Ultimus. And we set up Ultimus really to be the best mutual fund administrator in the industry. Our focus was solely on mutual funds at that point in time. But as the industry grew and as our clients wanted more services, we added those types of services, such as hedge fund or private fund administration, closed-end fund administration. Through some acquisitions, we acquired a lot of talent that had a lot of experience. Now we service ETFs and just about any pooled product that one of our clients would need, we can service.
Well, that's certainly a lot of service offerings. I know that in a past retrospective, you've discussed industry developments that you believe profoundly affected the asset management industry, and in particular the registered fund space. Noting, among other things, the rise of fund supermarkets and changes in fund distribution models. Can you speak to those distribution developments? How they affected the industry, and in particular Ultimus, and the role of, in your view, series trusts in responding to those developments.
Sure. Back in 1999, the industry wasn't as developed as it is today, both from a technology perspective and from a service offering perspective. But the industry has changed in the 37 years I've been in the business. I'm dating myself, but back then, to invest in a mutual fund, a shareholder filled in an application, attached a check, mailed it in, we processed it, sent them information 7 days later, and it was like buying stocks at that time. But the industry dramatically changed for a lot of reasons. Technology helped the industry change, regulation forced the industry to change. But really early on, what I think had the most impact were mutual fund supermarkets. The firms such as Schwab and Fidelity and Pershing and TD Ameritrade, what they started to do was offer a platform, somewhat of a clearing platform, for mutual funds to be bought and sold by investors sitting at home on their home computer. It transformed the industry in many ways. One, it increased competition for funds. Two, it really made funds really think about how they wanted to distribute funds, because these supermarkets, for the most part, catered to the RIA community who were used to utilizing no-load mutual funds. But at the same time, these firms became the back office for many regional broker-dealers. They became the back office for RIAs. And those firms had different requirements. Some wanted low funds, some wanted no funds. And what they were able to do was they became the supermarket for mutual funds. And our clients picked up on it, got on the supermarkets. And it really changed the dynamics of how shareholders invest. And I think it was one of the big steps in the industry to take mutual funds to everyday shareholders in a quick and convenient and concise way.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that perspective. And you touched on one of the points that I'd also like to raise, and you raised in your retrospective before, and that is technology and the developments in technology. Can you discuss those a little bit, the technological developments that you feel have impacted the industry, and in particular in the operational area, and you know what's continuing today? Yeah.
Back when I started, you really scrambled every day to get the NAV calculated and reported to NASDAQ by 5:30, so the funds would be in the news or the Wall Street Journal or the newspapers the next day. Now, that information's available a couple hours later on these supermarkets and on the various fund groups' websites. So the technology sped up information to the investors. But with that access everyone had, the industry needed a better platform to process all those trades. So FundServe was developed by DTCC, and that allowed the back office of fund groups to interface with the back offices of brokerage firms and the RIA community and things like that. So that really helped the industry grow. You put all the products out on these platforms so individual investors could have access to it. The other thing was the investors then could log into their brokerage account, see their mutual fund positions as well as any other stock or bond positions that they might have had. So it gave great reporting to the investor, but it really helped mutual funds distribute themselves. But there was a cost to that, and it wasn't cheap, and it really forced a lot of fund groups to think about what they want to be when they grow up, and it also forced a lot of smaller fund groups out of the industry because they couldn't pay the distribution cost. But that led to one of the other innovations, which were series trusts. Advisors were coming to us to launch mutual funds in a lower cost structure. And series funds had been around for a while, but really had not been as popular as advisors who want to start their own standalone fund in their own trust with their own board. And series trust opened up the world to a lot of these RIAs who wanted to manage a mutual fund, have lower cost structure, but at the same time have enough money available for their distribution effort. So I think you can trace a lot back to the mutual fund supermarkets for some of the other technology and innovations that came into the fund industry.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you also touched on the next point that you had raised in the past, and that's the kind of the legal and regulatory developments that have occurred in the last 25 years. I certainly have my own perspective, being an attorney in the industry on some of those. But which of the many legal and regulatory changes have, in your view, really altered the industry and advanced it, if you will?
Yeah, I really think there were four things that really impacted investment advisors, their funds, and shareholders. The first was the U.S. Patriot Act. Shareholders became familiar with it simply if they wanted to go and open a bank account. They had to deal with the U.S. Patriot Act. And as an industry, we had to be able to do that. We had to identify the customer, know your customer, secure driver's license and IDs and stuff. We had to run matches against the OFAC list of bad actors. It really was cumbersome, but like anything, the industry innovated and streamlined that process. But I think that was the first major change for funds and shareholders. The second was Sarbanes-Oxley. There were some financial irregularities and issues way back when, and the SEC wanted to clamp down on those. And in the mutual fund space, they wanted certifications from the CEO of the fund group and the chief financial officer of the fund group, as well as other reporting guidelines and additional things the SEC wanted. And that came with costs, and so did the Patriot Act on top of all the distribution costs. So some of the cost benefit that shareholders got, that they were taken away by the regulations. Then Dodd-Frank came along, and that had a really big impact on the fund industry, additional reporting requirements. And after Dodd-Frank, or maybe even part of Dodd-Frank, compliance being a huge, huge issue for the SEC. Advisors had to start having their own chief compliance officers. Fund groups had to have that. There were lots of audit, there were lots of compliance consulting firms that started. And I do think the industry's in a better place for all those rules and regulations, except the cost of that ended up being borne by the shareholders. And right. As technology drove expenses down, the regulatory costs drove them back up.
No, I agree. I agree with that completely. I have to point out the last 18 months, obviously, we've been dealing with COVID. It's been dominated by COVID, certainly in the governmental responses to COVID, which have affected markets generally and the industry. What are your thoughts on how it's affected the industry? You know, what will be permanent going forward, and kind of generally, where do you see the industry going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, certainly the SEC was responsive as a result of COVID and allowed boards to meet virtually. And I think boards liked it originally, but at the same time, the board misses the interactions before the meetings, after the meetings with their colleagues to talk about industry issues, advisor issues, shareholder issues, and stuff like that. So I think they've done a good job of adjusting, but they've helped with some filing deadlines and some other things that needed to happen as far as COVID. But I think the big change will continue to be the industry itself, whether it's additional technologies, additional rules in regulation, but more importantly, it's going to be what shareholders want, what shareholders demand from their mutual funds. And the industry has always been pretty smart about listening to their constituents. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is the industry really has a great trade association in the SEI, and the industry embraces that, uses that as the opportunity to talk to the SEC, to talk to Congress and others for the benefit of the shareholders. So I've been in the industry 37 years. If on day one you would have told me this is what the industry is going to look like 37 years later, I'd be dead wrong. Where we're going in the next 5 to 7 years, I think a couple of things will happen. You know, as part of recent SEC relief, it used to be hard for ETFs register. As you well know, they had to go through the exemptive order process. And I believe in 2020, they streamlined that process so they can just file like regular open-end mutual funds. So I do think you're going to see a lot more ETFs in the future. They tend to be lower cost for the investor, but the investor then has to weigh the cost benefit of being able to buy and trade ETFs on a daily basis versus investing for the long term. It'll be interesting to see. We've certainly seen a pickup in ETF registrations, but I do think ETFs, there may be as many ETFs 10 years from now as there are open-end mutual funds.
Oh, no, I agree with that, definitely. Of all the many successes that you had at Ultimus, which ones stand out in particularly for you, or you're particularly proud of over the years? And, you know, I have to ask, what's keeping you busy these days?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you what I'm most proud of is the organization and the people we hired and the service they provide to not only the investment advisors we work with and the boards, but the shareholders. At the end of the day, technology can be wonderful. People have questions and they want to talk to a human being and they want easy answers and be able to explain it. So that's one of the things I'm proudest of, is the fact that we're so service oriented. And the other thing I'm really proud of is there's an annual survey done by Global Custodian, and they reach out to clients of mutual fund groups. And when we started, we wanted to be the best mutual fund provider in the industry. Proud to announce that this year was our seventh consecutive year of being voted by our clients as the best mutual fund administrator. And also, we won awards this year for being one of the best ETF service providers. And you know, that was gratifying because that's newer to our space. We bought into that space, but obviously the firm we bought mirrors our service culture, our work ethic. So that's what I'm most proud about, you know, having started Ultimus, is the people. And what's keeping me busy these days? I'm on the disabled list. I love golf, as you know, but I haven't been able to because I had shoulder surgery. But I think I can start swinging a club later in November, December, maybe. But the other thing is family, spending more time with family. And as you and I were talking earlier, our third daughter was born last Friday, and that's really special. And so what I really enjoy most about retirement is family and a growing family.
Oh, yeah. Well, congratulations on that. And really, thank you for joining us today, Bob. We really appreciate it. And congratulations on your retirement and on a truly remarkable career. I know we met many, many years ago, and you know, we've touched base over the years, and I really appreciate all that you've done for the industry and for me in particular. So thank you.
You're very, very welcome, Paul, and delighted to spend the time with you today.